Welcome to another episode of the Rolling Thunder Podcast. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for taking us with you this season, wherever you've been, whether it's in the truck or whether it's at work or whether you're just listening at home getting a couple projects done. We can't tell you how much it means to us that y'all listen. We can't tell you how surprised we are every time we see the numbers. We just feel very, very humbled by it. And if we can ask one quick favor, next time you're listening, when you pull it up on the app, just leave us a review and give us a rating. It helps us get out there, and somehow in the great algorithm, crazy world of social media and the rest, it helps people find the podcast. We'd appreciate it. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Get up.
Welcome, folks. Y'all come on in and make yourself at home. This here, well, this is the Rolling Thunder Podcast, your home for all things Rolling Thunder. This episode of the Rolling Thunder Podcast is presented by Mossy Oak Camouflage, because everything is better in Bottomland. And Lucky Duck Premium Decoys, masters of deception.
Hello.
Yo.
How are y'all?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm not going to lie. I've been better. Are we recording?
Yeah, we are, but we can kill it.
No. Let it record. I just didn't want to have to tell this miserable story twice. I mean, y'all, it's 10 after 8.
Okay.
It's 10 after 8. I just ate two chicken breasts and a salad and a couple beers. Nice dinner. Dylan just broke the news to us that we got to go brush blinds tonight.
Oh.
We're trying to shoot 20 geese. Like, I think we can buy the pond and skillet rake them in the morning and get our 20 geese if we needed to. We're going to cut cattails tonight to brush A-frames.
Boy's mad at him.
Terrible idea. Terrible idea.
Is there some? Why can't y'all do it in the morning?
Oh, well, I mean,
I got to set out 50 dozen decoys.
I mean, terrible. I do it in the morning. What? It's unheard of.
Goose guys.
Well, gee whiz.
If we were getting paid to do this and had, like, you know, 20 guns in the morning and we were trying to.
Yeah. There's a little bit of extra fire in you to do it then, but holy cats.
Grindcation 21 is off to a.
Are you sitting next to Dylan now?
No, Lord, no. I would not talk like this in front of Dylan. He's in the car behind me. We're pulling back up to the hotel to get some more recordings because, you know, it's cold as a well digger's bottom half out here.
I imagine so. And windy as.
Oh, yeah. I changed into my scouting clothing, which means I took all my long underwear off. So I'm in Crocs and blue jeans. It's 30 degrees. So we got to go find some warm clothes.
You need to hang up now.
Yeah.
Hey, just take your headset in the field and give us a live action, like, play-by-play.
I don't have my headset anymore. It got stolen when the bug went through my truck. So I'm just old school iPhone 10 in it with you guys.
There you go.
How are y'all? You've been playing Chef Chop Suey lately, Rob?
A little bit.
I gave him the night off.
Yeah, I'm still trying to work on my knife working merit badge.
Your knifemanship?
I didn't know what the word would be. I'm trying to roll that into a merit badge that I still need to get. But last night,
you got a lot of merit out of that one.
Sorry, I thought I heard some tires screeching.
You did. We're herding cats out here, you know. So anyway.
Yeah. So last night I decided to make dinner for Liz, and I said, "Honey, you take the night off. I'll do it." And I was trying to brown some meat, and
metaphorically or literally, like ground beef in the
brown ground beef here.
Gotcha. And, skillet.
Yeah, skillet, and it was okay. It was frozen. So I said, "Okay, let me get this knife here, and I'll cut it in half. I'll cut it into four. I'll cut it into quarters, and then it'll brown faster."
Gotcha.
So I grabbed this knife out of the little block there, and it was a ceramic knife, real sharp sucker. Apparently, not very strong.
Turned it into a prison shank, did you?
I sure did. I came down on it. I was pushing on it. It broke in half.
Yikes!
And then my left hand, which it like embedded in the shard that was stuck in the meat. So it just went, and it made like a great
pop.
Oh yeah.
Sound like someone biting an apple.
Well, when I went to pull my hand away from it, and the meat came with me.
Ugh.
So I had to readjust and pull it straight up, and I grabbed my hand, and it wasn't bleeding yet.
Did you bleed on the meat?
Nope, meat's good. We ate it tonight for dinner. I got my vengeance, but I was holding it. Hadn't bled yet. Liz came around the corner. She was, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh." And I'm like, hey, I'm the one cut right here. So
yeah, you're
going to make it through.
It was about me.
You're going to make it through. Anyway, long story short, Mom fixed me up. And then, heck, Ben last night ended up.
I had to close him.
Yeah, so we run up to the clinic, and Ben puts what?
Blocked it with lidocaine and
of course I'm not. He gave me a stick to chew on, gave me one of those greenies, but he stitched me up.
Just for the record, as a vet's kid, I saw the picture of the stitches, and I want you to know that Ben stitched you up with a lot of love and care, because my dad would have definitely taken it to the clinic and done the same thing, but it would have been two stitches and a piece of tape. And it would have been like, "Ah, he'll be fine."
It was.
He had you stitched up in all the.
Yeah, he did a great. It was pretty cool watching him work, though. I mean, he gave me about 9 stitches pretty quick, and then, you know, when he patched me up, I was like, "Man, that was pretty handy right there."
I told him there's got to be a perk, you know, every now and again.
Yeah.
You charge it to your care credit account.
Yeah.
Well, I told him yesterday. I said, "Yeah, I think in human medicine, they charge you about $200 a stitch."
Yeah. That's why you got 9 stitches.
Yeah, I just told him I'll get him a case of shells. So I appreciate it.
Shoot, if you can find a case of shells right now, you've done something.
I was going to say, heck, I'd take that right now.
Gee whiz.
You wouldn't believe the scraps that we're shooting at these geese over here. What's left over?
No kidding.
Almost all my good shells got sold in the truck. And
oh, yeah. So,
I've scrounged up they're good shells, what I've got, but they're Kent's. But good Lord, they're the broken pieces and boxes of what was left over from what I had in my pocket throughout the year, you know? I
mean, yeah. 5 from here, 10 from here.
Exactly.
That's what my dresser looks like.
Yeah, I know. I probably have at least a case of shells in between my car and various pockets and jackets. And
that's a way to get
hurt. I have a plastic tub that I usually collect them in.
It's like your change
at the
jar.
End of the year. Kind of, yeah. And actually, I had that, and I was saving it for this hunt. Like about the size of a shoebox. And so I had, like, all the 2s and random, you know, 3.5-inch stuff that, like, I wouldn't shoot at ducks. Just like the random stuff that's left over in the collection. And they got that, too.
Golly, man.
Those guys.
Like, you guys was ruthless, you know?
That's
like,
yeah.
Those are like the rusted brass and the stuff from like 2 years ago that I hadn't finished using. Like, jeez.
I hate a thief. That I know that one's kind of gotten a little bit more interesting. I don't know if you can talk about it on the air or not, but people getting caught up with.
Sure. I mean, yeah, they got credit card information and bank information, and they created. On the clinic, actually, they got clinic checks. They got a check, apparently. Apparently, I had a clinic check in my truck somewhere that they found. I guess it was an old reimbursement check or something. But they made checks. They called someone at SunTrust Bank in Atlanta. I guess they had them on the inside and got the phone number changed on our account for verifying
authenticity of the account.
Yep, like for authorizing charges. They sent, they made 10 checks or more. We don't know how many, but nine were attempted to be cashed, all for about $4,935, like just shy of $5,000 checks. And they got five or six of them to go through before they stopped them, before they realized, before one of the bankers, one of the branch locations thought it was fishy because they noticed that the phone number had been changed. So she called me and said,
give that woman a raise.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. It was a big deal that she figured it out because none of the rest of them had. They got a bunch, and at one of the branches that they called, the one who noticed it, sorry, I'm trying to do too many things at one time, but the branch manager who noticed that it looked weird, she called me and had the person in her branch that was trying to cash the check, and she asked me if that person worked for us. I said, no, I don't know that person. She said, so you tell me you did not write check 17705 to her for payroll. I said, no, I did not. And she said, huh. And I said, and she said, well, she's right here presenting the check to be cashed. And I said, can you call the police? And she said, yeah, sure. We'll be glad to. So they called the police. They arrested her. Multiple felony counts of impersonating a, you know, fraudulent business check or something. I don't know what all the codes were. But
I hope she just sings and catches this whole ring.
Can you imagine it bust the whole deal?
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think, though, I don't think she realized what she was caught up into. She was given a check and written to her name. It had my signature photoshopped on it and everything. So, yeah. I mean,
they probably have like a check printer and they just printed the same check number that was in sequence and just recreated of them.
See, the thing about it is they printed checks that were in the work that I had not used yet. So they started the first check they tried to cash was the next check in my checkbook to write. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the eight or nine checks that they tried to cash had not been used. So, you know, it wasn't like that the banker could pull it up and go, oh, this is not in sequence. It's right in sequence. And, you know, like.
That's why they tried to do it so quick.
Totally
Golly.
Normal.
They're not dumb. I mean, that was a pretty sharp operation.
Right. But, and they did it across about four different cities all across the southeastern United States. So, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Alpharetta, Georgia, and Atlanta, and, you know, places across there.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Gee whiz. All right. Well, I'm glad that somebody's coming to justice on that. But,
well, yeah. I haven't heard anything in a while, so I don't know what current status is. But
well, I guess hopefully. No news is good news.
Yeah.
Some ways.
Right.
So.
That's right.
Man, so y'all are literally trying to get out and get out the door to get out there and brush now.
Oh yeah. I'm actually about to put some boots on. They're staring at me right now.
All right.
Ridiculous. This is a terrible idea. But did y'all finish up duck season okay last weekend, Ben? Did you get to hunt?
I decided to just lay low. My last week was my first week back to work, and it absolutely sucked me dry.
Like breathing through a straw the whole week.
It felt like it, man. I just kicked my butt. And then plus, you know, I had 2 weeks to make up in a week, and I've got a busy schedule as it is. I mean, I was seeing appointments every 15 minutes, every 8 minutes, just getting through, probably averaging about 30 plus a day, plus surgeries and all kinds of stuff. And it was just, it was all I could do. I don't think I got back home before 8 o'clock any day last week.
Wow.
So, and then, you know, so I was just like, I'm beat. And then, you know, I was just like, I just couldn't get my head up off a pillow, man.
I don't blame you.
I felt bad about, you know, not trying to just go, but I couldn't afford to let it set me up for a worse week this week.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. You had a good season. You got to shoot some. So
oh, yeah. No, it was a great season overall. And, you know, I think one of the things that we've always kind of hit on this podcast is it's so much more about the stories and about the who you're with. And, you know,
that's right.
This is a group of people that I really am quite fond of. And, you know, I see them sporadically through the year, but in a much more focused, focused environment, you know, November to January.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, good.
Killing them sure is good, though.
Killing them doesn't hurt, and it sure makes those stories better.
Sure does.
Oh, no doubt.
I went on Saturday. We saw a couple geese that were high-flying. They had contrails on them, and, you know, Northwest Tennessee's little quiet these days on the duck front. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, what can you do?
How'd yours wrap up?
How did my wrap up? It was good. We hunted Friday and Saturday, and then I came on home and took the kids to the river bottom Sunday afternoon after church, and it was good.
It's awesome.
A pleasant ending. Friday and Saturday were kind of slow. We had good hunts, but they were not, like, easy and just slam dunks. We had to wrestle for them, and sometimes that's fun too. So, no complaints. I'm ready to finish grinding and catch up on work and sleep. My body's tired.
Yeah, I believe that.
I'm worn out.
I believe that. Well, I'm sure brushing some blinds will wake you right back up.
Exactly what the doctor ordered.
I know. That's what I wanted to tell you. I was like, man, like, come on, man. You know good and well I didn't just show up yesterday and start doing this. Like, we've been after this in September. I mean, I'm almost 40 years old, man.
Well, I hope you beat the brakes off of them tomorrow, man.
We're going to try.
How's
We're
it been going try. After how many days you've been up there?
Today was the first day, and we shot them. It was kind of funky weather, and we had to wrestle with them, but we shot 7 limits, and so it was good, and everybody was pretty happy. So
there you go.
Well, that's one of the first trips I ever went on with you. Yeah, you took me conservation in Missouri.
Yeah, three years ago. We're in the exact same spot, just down the road from the Beth Motel that you and I stayed in.
Yeah, so, that's the one where Jed got his hitch stolen in the middle of the night.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Heard him taking it off, too. Just didn't even think about it. We went out the next morning. He's like, they stole my hitch.
Yeah, we actually saw a lady beating up a guy in that parking lot yesterday. We were getting fuel. She was beating the brakes off this young guy.
Guess he didn't tip.
Yeah, probably not. But you're not supposed to profile, but from profiling it, I'm going to say he got whatever he deserved. And, I'm also going to say she didn't need any help defending her own honor.
What was the name of that place again?
Man, it's called like Knight's End or something.
Yeah, it's right across the street from that gas station.
That huge gas station was called Sap Brothers.
Yeah, I think
Sap Brothers?
Sap.
Yeah, SAPP. Yeah. It was a huge place. We actually ate lunch there yesterday. It was awful. It was about 2 o'clock. I don't know why we stopped there, but it was. It was horrible.
Was not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to talk about this awesome meat and three, and you're like, no, it was terrible.
No, it was like hot box chicken at 2:30 in the afternoon.
It's been under the lights since 10:30.
Not crunchy anymore.
And it was one of those places where, like, the crackheads finish eating lunch about 9:30, 10 o'clock, you know, and then the actual – working folk in that area finished eating lunch about 11:30. So the chicken that we ate had been in the hot box for a solid 3 hours. You know, by the time we got to 2:30.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like brushing blinds. It's like, you know, we don't all get.
I'm sorry, man.
I wish I could help.
I do secretly hope that Dylan chokes on one of these.
Cattails?
These corn dog cattails, yeah.
They definitely gag on it. This is awful.
Sheesh.
Oh, well, man. Well, I guess we'll let you go so you can get to it.
All right. Well, we got lots of, before I let y'all go, we also got lots of big things to talk about on the horizon. So
yeah.
Next week, let's sit down face-to-face if we can. And,
absolutely.
We had a huge day of turkey call sales on the website.
That's awesome. And, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, man, just huge. The response has been really fun. My Shopify app on my phone, which is the back end engine that runs the website,
it
makes this little sound every time there's an order that sounds like a cash register, and you're like, cha-ching. And so Kirk's been laughing all day because, I mean, every about 10 minutes, it's like, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
That's a good feeling.
But, and it's, I mean, it is a good feeling, but they're all small orders because it's turkey calls and whatnot. But it's really fun because it's like, man, here we are in February. It is validating, but here we are. We're about to change gears. And I don't know, man. There's something fun about changing gears, changing seasons. You feel this way at the end of summer, you know, and going into the fall. You feel this way at the end of the, you know, at the end of the winter, going into spring, and then spring going into summer. Like, it's just something very therapeutic about getting the chance to pump the brakes and change the gear, you know?
Oh, absolutely. So, that season change is something that's really cool. It gives you something to get, gives you a little extra shot in the arm.
Yep, that's right.
Starting to see a lot more turkey stuff coming out there. And
oh, yeah.
It's really cool. We'll have kind of what all the stuff that's coming out. So,
yep, no doubt. Grossenbacher and Wallace and the whole crew are going to be in the shop next week. And so we'll have to record an episode with them.
Yeah.
Next week, we've got to do sound files and a bunch of stuff for Bass Pro Shops. And so that'll be a good time, and have to get them on here next week.
Shoot, yeah.
So anyways, appreciate you guys and all the people listening. You didn't ask for this sidebar. You can call the Beagles on me if you want to, but
no.
The listenership on the podcast has just been crazy.
Yeah,
people
absolutely.
That are listening every week, and I'm constantly blown away by the feedback people send in text message and direct message on social media. You know, they jump on there and make some joke about something they heard, and this sounds kind of silly, but man, that just makes you feel good when you take a few minutes away from family time at night for podcasts, things like that. So I just want to say personally how much I appreciate all the people out there listening, and just, you know, it's really cool, and to still be after this, you know, after 10 years, and to have people interested and to know that we're not boring, that's all very satisfying.
No, no doubt, no doubt.
Maybe if we were boring, I wouldn't be cutting cattails, but it's great.
Well, no.
Definitely not boring.
If we weren't boring,
yeah, that's right.
No one would know about us about you cutting cattails.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
You'd still be doing it.
Well, stay tuned. I'm going to take pictures and may even post up an Instagram story.
Yeah.
To validate that I did some of the work.
Fruit, yeah. All right, man. We'll looking for it. Good luck
all
tomorrow.
All right, y'all be good. Hope your hand gets better.
I appreciate it. I'm in capable hands.
All right, take care.
See you, buddy.
See you.
Woof.
Yeah. I don't know. There's kind of a part of me, though, that's like, I wouldn't mind. I don't know. Maybe that just shows that I haven't been out just day in, day out of the season. But that kind of sounds like, man, I want to be there.
Yeah, you know? That's kind of one of those things. Like, that trip that I went on with him a couple of years ago was kind of my first, we're going after geese. And
a byproduct of the hunt.
I'll tell you what, it was one of the most eye-opening experiences that I've been on because, you know, my experience up until that point had been duck.
Duck only.
And you know, there's a lot of different ways you can do it and all this stuff. And we met at this parking lot. I was like at a golf course. And then we kind of drove a little bit further away to where we were going to be hunting. And each place, each rig had a huge trailer.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, what is all this? Like, surely, I guess they didn't know that someone was bringing the decoys or something.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, we set out one of the most ridiculous spreads I've ever seen.
Just for Canada's?
Yes. If there weren't 70 dozen decoys out, I'd be lying to you. It was huge.
Huge.
We can still say that.
Never forget.
Yeah. But it was impressive.
Yeah.
And, boy, they did it. And it was up close, personal, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Pickup was horrible.
It's never fun, but it's a lot better when you can kind of like – there's something about, I don't know, after you have a good hunt, it's kind of like an energy drink. You're just kind of like, yeah, you're jacked up.
Well, the fun part for me on that one was I met a lot of people that I'd heard of before, but I'd never met. I met Dawson on that trip.
Yeah, yeah.
And the funny thing is –
well, like putting names to faces or people that you've talked to.
Yeah. And like, if my memory serves me correct, and if he's listening, he can correct me later. I'm pretty sure he bought like one of the most outrageous,
like that white cowboy hat.
He did. He bought this white cowboy hat,
and he was wearing
pearl
like
snap shirt.
Yeah, he had like a pearl snap shirt and jorts.
Not jorts. Denim head to toe, new hat, and he just he rocked it. And I don't know anybody else that could have pulled it off quite like that.
Oh yeah.
I also met Jed for the first time there, and I didn't know who he was, but my stomach felt like I had had an ab workout for 3 days. And I was like, whoever this guy is, I would not mind crossing his path
again
frequently. Well, then I go to Canada with him the next year, and I see him at least quarterly anyway. And I've got a turkey hunt booked with him in Middle Tennessee here in the next little bit. So
yeah, that'll be fun.
It's always fun when these paths kind of keep crossing. I've enjoyed that so much.
Yeah.
And with all of, you know, getting to do this and meeting different people, you know, it's just been awesome.
Heck yeah. I mean, I was kind of joking with Spence earlier this year that the number of friends that I have met I was like, Spence, every time you introduce me to people, I don't know what they look like for the first 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
exactly.
I actually.
Boat ramp handshake.
Yeah. Or like in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, there was like a couple, I guess it was last year sometime, we went, it was kind of like one of these just Mondo groups. It was like, you know, these four and these four, kind of talking about like it's always in like multiples of four because that's like how many
you can hold in the car.
Yeah. How many a truck holds. And so, you know, Derek Wilson and I met him and we were just sitting there and, you know, sharing a tree and neither one of us, like, you know, we don't even know what the other one looks like. So I guess I always like, so people's voices are always very particular to me. So I always kind of like, that's my first impression of everybody is I just get to hear them. But we were sitting there and it was kind of cold and he asked me if I wanted some coffee. I said, yeah, shoot. Yeah. And so he hands me a coffee, but he hands me those little Yeti, pours it out straight out of the Yeti. And it's like into this cup. And I'm like, well, I can't just like hold this man's, I can't just like hold this man's coffee from him because he's like going to give me some and he's going to drink it. So I just can't do really hot coffee. Sorry about it. My granddaddy used to like
pour it out of the pot in his mouth.
Yeah. No. He drank it straight out of the carafe sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like when you're bombing Nazis, you don't have time to let your coffee cool down.
Golly, like, no joke.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, so Derek hands it to me, and I'm like, gosh, this is so hot. So I just slug it. And it's like one of those, you know, it's like a couple ounces or 4 ounce, 5 ounces.
Probably
something.
Still recovering from that ulcer.
Well, I wasn't eating pizza for a while after that, for tell you what. But
sheesh.
Anyway, so I burn it, and I'm like trying to be cool, like, because that hurt. I wanted to be like, yeah. I gave it back to him, and he pours himself one. And then he proceeds to take a sip, and then goes, blows it out. He was like, golly, what the heck was that? I said, what? He's like, well, the way you drank it, I thought it was cool. I was like, oh, no. It was so hot. I was like, no way, it was so hot, but I just couldn't let you know that I thought it was hot. And he was like, well, you burned me because of that. I was like, my bad.
Sorry, bud.
It's like, youngest brother, I can't be the slow one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but anyway, I don't even know why I told that one. Do I have to? Is that a?
Well, you can't beagle yourself.
I can't beagle myself. But anyway, gosh, man. So we've got conservation snow going on right now. I don't really particularly foresee myself going out there.
I think I'm going to have to do it once. I did it last year with Southern Prairie guys.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. I think I'm going to have. I'm such a grass is greener guy.
Yeah, you always tell yourself, I'm not doing it.
I'm not going to do it. Then I'll do it once. And then I'm going to end up booking myself for the entire, like, Arkansas season every Monday.
Yeah, which wouldn't bother me.
It's going to go, have to, you know, save some more. Actually, you know what? That hand looks like.
Yeah, has my hand all of a sudden gotten more expensive?
That hand, you know, I've hurt. No, I'm kidding.
But you'd be honest by it. But Benson, I've got joked about it. He's trying to not let me, like, move to turkey season so fast in my mind because there's still, like, waterfowl's still happening.
Right.
Like, there's still late season goose hunts going on and then also the snow conservation
it's
season.
It's just really hard for me to put up waterfowl.
Yeah.
And, like, once I, like, pack up stuff, it's, like, the admission that it's over. And
a little bit.
For me, it's kind of hard because especially the way my season ended like 3 weeks early.
Yeah, kind of like, unceremonious.
Like the last duck I shot was a spoonie.
That's all right.
So I got to end on a different note. I'm very grateful for that spoonie because it was the only duck we shot that day.
Oh, yeah, that was the day that got you sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I am looking forward to turkey season.
Oh, I am looking forward to it.
I was talking to a guy today. He was sending me pictures. Undisclosed location was sending me pictures, and it was just like,
man, I was driving to work the other day going down. Well, I can say down the
going down the oh, I don't know.
I saw it
going down the road
to there's lots of those, lots of work actually. So it's all
everyone you know. Knows,
but all right, right. I mean, and heck, I almost drove off the road because in the field, shoot, immediately to my left, every bit of 60-plus turkeys.
God.
At least. It was a huge flock.
That's awesome. I'm excited. I'm hoping that this year I don't have to do the cell phone gobble on you again.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not sorry about that.
I am.
Oh, man. So,
I'm hoping this year. And I know it sounds crazy for a lot of people listening, but my goal this year is I want to call up my first bird.
Yeah.
I've not done that.
You've killed turkeys.
I've killed turkeys, but it's always been like there's a guy that's been super generous, and it's like, hey.
Yeah, he invited you. He'll invite me. He called.
And they care more about calling the bird, working the bird, and, like, you know, they've killed hundreds. So they don't, you know, it's like, you know, it's not about that. It's about the interaction with the bird.
Well, and they just really enjoy putting people on birds.
Yeah, and I think there's I think that's a great thing.
I'm not there yet.
I don't have anything to offer. I can't take anybody anywhere. And as soon as I can, I'll definitely do it.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do that. I had a couple close calls last year, but just with my absolute ignorance of how to work it and. To me, in that situation, I thought that I was in the worst possible spot.
Yeah.
But when I tell the story to other people, they'll be like, oh, no, man, you should have gone 20 yards in. And I'm like, what?
I know.
Go to him?
I'm always, yeah.
You know, and he's like, no, because you said the hens were over there, and he was over there. And I was like.
It was the same deal.
Oh,
like, you're in between them. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, and so when you talk turkey with somebody that actually
that knows
speaks
what
their
they're
language.
Doing. It's amazing how many times we've been in this perfect spot.
Golly.
Been like, oh, let's hang it up. We're not going to see him.
And, you know, and then the other time that I really want to do, I've got some friends here locally that I'm going to start, you know, going to their house and calling with them. Like, the number of times I'm like, boy, that yelp sounds pretty good. And then I'll be like, I'll show them. They're like, all right, show me what you got. So then I'll do it. And it's like, oh, that's just a whatever yelp. And it's like, so that's not it. And like, no. And then they'll start doing
name.
It. Yeah, and then they'll start doing something else. I'm like, oh, boy, I was way off.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I see, the same reason I've fallen asleep during more turkey hunts than I'd like to admit, too. I don't know what it is. It's like if I stop moving, I just like.
Yeah, I did realize that I have a hard time sitting still.
Yeah. We just need to get. Gosh, we're bee tamers.
Well, you know, we got to start somewhere. I'm totally fine with that. Well, and, you know, like I told you kind of before we started all this, like, there was a point in my life where, like, I was afraid to not be able to do it. But now I'm getting to a point where it's like, you got to learn how to do this now because you don't want to be in your 40s and still not know how to do it.
Yeah.
Cause it's
we don't have to worry about that.
Well, I know, but I'm closer to that than I care to admit.
Okay, so as one kind of waterfowl season winds up, where's a place next year? Like, give me a couple places next year that you haven't hunted before that are, like, realistic, like, I got to go here next year.
I've got a draw to go to Oklahoma.
Okay.
I think that would be cool.
Yeah? Why?
I mean, I think a lot of it's driven by the content that I've seen in some ways.
Sure. I mean, that,
you know, because it's like, I mean, obviously you see a lot of, you know.
Well, it makes you a lot more aware of it.
Yeah.
Are you ready for all your stuff to come back red?
Yeah, I mean, that's a red state, brother. Good grief. I thought Alabama had red dirt. That place doesn't hold a candle to Oklahoma.
No, all those, you see those guys over there and all their gear gets like stained.
Like University of Texas orange.
Oh yeah. Well, it's a different, yeah, it's something else. I mean, you can tell, you can line them up and be like, y'all boys from Oklahoma? It's like, yup.
How'd you know?
So, oh yeah, Oklahoma would be cool.
Couldn't read your license plate.
Yeah, that's right. Oklahoma. I wish that the Wyoming trip didn't fall through this
year. Yeah, that was kind of a bummer. I was excited about that for you.
Yeah, that would have been really cool. So I'm still hoping to get out to Wyoming. I mean, like North Platte.
That has been a destination for me.
Yeah.
Like, and where we go in Nebraska, I think we're about 2 hours north of the Platte River. I'm not really sure which, I'm geographically, I'm not really sure if that's North Platte. I know that there is a South Platte. So I'm not really sure where that is. First year we went, we had a guy that was a customer of one of the guys that we went with, and we had a chance to go, but man, we had hunted hard for 5 days, and we were just like, running out of time, running out of available resources for the trip that we were on, and it was just, yeah. I mean, we'll get a rain check on this one, but I agree. I think doing something in Oklahoma would be cool. I've always wanted to go to Wyoming or Montana.
General?
Yeah, in general, but I think the waterfowl hunt out there would be cool. It'd
be pretty cool.
And I think just getting, you know, because where I do a lot of my hunting, and I think you're kind of in a similar boat, I shoot a bunch of mallards.
Yeah.
And I love shooting mallards.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah.
And I like green, and I love seeing orange feet sticking straight out, landing gear down.
Absolutely.
Making it personal. But, you know, I think I love shooting varieties.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying you can't get that in Arkansas, but with what I do mostly.
And just where y'all hunt, I mean, at the timber company, it just seems like y'all have a much higher ratio of mallards to anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we've, you know, in the last 3 years, I think we've killed like 4 or 5 widgeons.
Yeah.
Probably 7 or 8 pintails.
Yeah, and then just like a couple shovelers here and there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so the mallard density, I mean, y'all have killed plenty of gadwall there too, but, I mean, predominantly mallards. But, you know, I'm thinking I'd really like to get out. I don't know, there's a piece of me that wants to get into that Pacific flyway, too. I've been wanting to go to Washington for a few years.
Yeah, I think that'd be
cool.
There's
some really cool spots. And
I think that would be really cool.
California looks like it could be pretty wild,
you know,
just
I don't
because.
Know why I always write that off, but.
I mean, it could be pretty wild. I mean, I know that the, actually, I don't know anything about it, but I guess what I'm saying is just outside looking.
I've seen a lot of people that are absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a destination for them, too.
But outside looking in, it looks like actually a lot of hunters out there.
Yeah.
And it's pretty competitive. And so it would be weird to show up in a place where you think like, oh, man,
I
nobody.
Got this on lock.
There's no hunters so, out here. And then you show up and it's like a boat race. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Son's got an airboat. That guy's serious. Speaking of airboats, Utah.
Yep.
So realistically, though.
And, you know, I've got another one, too. And I talk about it a lot. I want to go see the fellas.
The Kanati.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to go see Dave.
That goes
Tyler.
Without saying. Dave, we're coming to see you in New York.
Yes,
we're definitely
going
to hit up that Canada
that
season
would be cool.
In September.
And then I think I want.
Or take them up on those Jersey black ducks.
I want a black duck real bad.
I do, too.
I think they're beautiful. It's a bucket list bird for me. And
I think the bird that I want to get more than any other bird out there is I want to get a harlequin.
Okay.
Down in Washington, you can shoot one. And that'd be pretty sharp. I think you can shoot Sorry if I'm if we got anybody Pacific Flyway people. I think you can shoot one a season.
Oh.
It's like, that's it.
Hmm.
They're pretty cool, though.
Go for it, man.
Yeah, so, anyway. But that,
let's
that
do this,
cool.
Rob.
All right.
Let's.
Are we going to make a pact?
I think we can.
A brother pact?
It's brother pact in public. So now.
So this is a shorter podcast. People may be listening at this point, so.
Well, and if you're listening, as Spence likes to say, you are a diehard. But you can hold us to it.
All right.
I think what we need to do, we each have a similar list of kind of variety, both species and geographically.
Yeah.
We just need to pick a different place.
Like one a year?
Every year.
Okay.
Yeah. And over the next 10 years, then it forces us to get together because it's only going to get harder to do that.
Yeah, because after a few years, then it's like, now we have to pick like obscure places.
Yeah.
Like, you ever hunted in New Mexico? Nope, but it's year 12 and we got to find a new spot.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So I think that'd be pretty cool.
Don't sleep on divers in Arizona.
No. No. So, I wouldn't sleep on that.
So, but anyway. All right. Well, so as of the time of recording this is Tuesday night. So hopefully Spence is out there right about now.
Making Dylan choke on cattails.
Making Dylan choke on cattails. Maybe, don't hold me to it, maybe we'll have an update for you tomorrow so that on Thursday when we drop this, you can have a little part two action of the
and maybe
Missouri.
Hear a little bit more pep in Spence's step.
Maybe. All right, so as promised, we got part two of this podcast. We caught up with Spence. What's up, man?
Grindcation 21 is going very well, Pat. Very well.
So as I understand it, setting up last night wasn't too bad.
No, it really wasn't. It really wasn't. We went to a big cattail hole and cut cattails that were about 6 foot tall.
Oh, my gosh.
And brushed the covers for the A-frames. And man, the freaking geese ate it up this morning. It was just as greasy and in your face as you could ever possibly want it to be.
That's
the only problem we had was we needed more guns for more limits. I mean, it was wild.
Gosh.
We lit, I don't know, at one point I bet we had 60 or 70 sitting in the decoys, and it was just constant in and out of the decoys. Some would hop up, spin around. But we had this one big tree in the field that kind of had a big stem hanging out over it on the south side of the tree, and it was southeast wind. So the sun was in their eyes, and the wind was kind of quartering from over our left shoulder kind of to our right shoulder. And, man, it was a little slow start because of some ice, but it was solid.
You couldn't have drawn it up better.
No, you couldn't.
That's awesome.
We stopped about three shy. We probably put, I don't know, 150 or 200 different geese in the spread trying to leg check them, as Dylan calls it, looking for band. We had one band get in and out that we didn't get a shot at, didn't get seen by the naked eye, but the camera caught it. So, but man, it was awesome. Dustin, my buddy Dustin, that hunts at White Oak a lot. The first time he's really seen yesterday and today, first time he's ever done a goose thing. He was mesmerized. Dylan had him on a string, put him at our feet. It was wild.
And he thinks like a goose. Like, he just gets it.
Yeah, well, he definitely does. Yeah, for sure.
So, the plan, so are y'all hunting up there another day, or you're back to?
No, we're in between a couple. It's been warm up here during the day. It's real cold at night. We get down in the mid-20s. But then during the day, it warms up. Today, it was, man, I don't know, it got up in the mid-50s, but
yeah.
And so when it's like that, when it's warm, the geese don't usually feed at night until just right at dark or right after the sun goes down. So we're trying to look at this one last feed. We got a pretty solid option for the morning, but just trying to make sure we don't miss something because there weren't quite as many there yesterday as there had been, but we got a weather day tomorrow, and they should, it's a cornfield, they should fill it up tomorrow morning.
Man.
So we're going to hopefully tighten that up tonight with the scout, and then tomorrow morning, shoot our however many folks show up, shoot our 7 or 8 limits, and then pointer southwest to the house.
There you go.
I'm looking forward to my bed, pal.
I bet. Grindcation 21.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's awesome. That's good news.
It's been good. It's been real good. Beach right there.
Well, you like to hear it when it comes together. So is it just you in the truck right now?
No, I'm with Kirk and Grant Sinclair.
There you go.
Yeah, the master of the syrupy slow-mo is in the back seat.
I was about to say.
Do what?
As I was about to say, that's his expertise. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he's been showing me some things. He's got a little different camera set up than any of y'all run, and it's pretty cool. I actually, yesterday, we shot our limit and let him jump the layout blind and shoot his, and I filmed a couple groups, and I actually got them in focus.
There you go.
I'm going to have to go get me a camera set like his so I can join the cool kid crowd.
Man, his stuff.
Slow-mo shot for days.
His stuff's awesome. I don't know if I've ever seen his stuff not in slow-mo, but I'm not mad about it. It's great stuff.
Yeah, exactly right.
And yeah,
he's good at that.
And his stuff on the Blue Stem project was pretty sharp, too.
Yep. Yep.
So, that's cool. Well, I got some news today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm, joining the Girl Dad Club.
What?
Yeah. No.
Congratulations.
Yeah, man. We're fired up. We went and did
that. Wow. What's the due date?
We're doing it sometime in July, end of July, I guess, is kind of what we're looking
man,
at.
Man,
so.
That's so awesome.
Dude, we're fired up. This is the first time they let me actually in the room to do all the ultrasound and all that stuff. So
yeah.
I kind of got to get all of it in one go, not just, oh, there's a baby. It was like, oh, here's the baby. There's his head. Oh, here. Yep. There you go. Girl. I was like, wow. I was like, that happened so fast. I was like, so it's, I don't know. It just kind of makes everything just feel a little different when all of a sudden it's like, all right, there's a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We got 6 months to get everything worked out. And here we go.
Yeah.
So,
man,
it's pretty awesome.
I can't wait to smoke a big fat cigar with you and your dad.
I'm looking forward to it. You'll have to come over here and we'll do it.
Can't wait.
That's
so awesome. Is Liz pumped?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she said that she was like, boy or girl, I didn't care, but there was a little extra gear when there was a little extra cheer when they said that it was a girl. I was like, it's okay, babe.
That's
you
awesome.
Can want a girl. It's like, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly right.
So
that's such a weird feeling, and I promise I know it. It's just the way you want one or the other, but you don't really feel bad because you want it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. And then all of a sudden, like, once you find out, you're like, I don't care. Like, this is awesome. I can't wait. So, but anyway,
that's so fantastic.
In the Girl Dad Club, I guess.
Ah, man, July's going to roll around quick.
Yeah, yeah, it is. There's a lot between now and then. So, I'm fired up, but so there you go.
Congratulations. I'm proud of y'all and happy for you, man.
Heck yeah, man. That's looking awesome. Forward to it. Now we just got to turn the screws on Ben.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not right now. This is when most duck hunters' babies are conceived, is the month of February. And make sure it's all full. Nothing like a six-week-old to crush your duck season. So.
No doubt.
Yeah, no doubt.
And a
February conception is an automatic no to the Canada trip. So
that's a good point. Yeah, when Dave was talking about, yeah, we need somebody to come to Africa, I was like, yeah, I might be a little busy in August. I don't know if I can do that. So
we'll
figure it out. But anyway,
well, baby fever will hit Kayla when this little one running around. And
no doubt. It'll
all take care of itself.
No doubt. Well, anyway. Well, cool, man. Well, I appreciate you catching up with us real quick. We'll leave y'all to scout and tell the boys hey for me.
I'll do it.
All right, man.
I'll do it. Soon, buddy.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Good luck tomorrow.
All right.
All right, bye. Thanks. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Rolling Thunder Podcast. See you on the next one. Thank you.